The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Hello, America. I'm Todd Starnes. I'm a white man. I'm wearing a blue shirt, olive green pants. My pronouns are Nutter Butter. Hello, everybody. You know, this is not working for me, Grace. I know you told me to do that. You told me to start the show off like that. I know you told me to embrace my inner Kamala, but it sounded creepy. I don't understand.
Yeah, Todd, I'm sorry, but I was just trying to make you more relatable to our audience, you know?
Really? Did I sound more relatable?
No, not really.
Maybe it was the Nutter Butter line.
It might have been that.
You know, every now and again.
That was it, Todd. The Nutter Butter.
You see, I changed up my pronouns because, again, I believe in, you know, this whole fluidity thing.
Mm-hmm.
So one day I could identify as buttermilk biscuit, which I did yesterday. But today I'm feeling more like a Nutter Butter.
A little sweet, a little salty.
A little. Hey now. A couple of days ago, I was, the hot toddy. That was those were my pronouns.
So they change daily is what I'm hearing.
It does. I mean, that's how this fluidity thing works. By the way,
however you feel, your truth.
No, that is my truth. If I self-identify as a Nabisco snack product, then by golly, so be it. Because this is America. That's all I'm trying to say.
I'm more of a Hershey's Kiss kind of gal. But
Hey now. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. This is just weird. Good to have you with us today. There's just a lot of weird stuff going on, but I want to say something about what happened yesterday with President Trump dueling speeches in the nation's capital. Vice President Mike Pence speaking at the Young Americas Foundation. You had President Trump, who was speaking at the America First Institute, and then you had Joe Biden staring into a camera, not blinking. By the way, have you seen that video? Is that not the creepiest video? Folks, we have the full video up on toddstearns.com, and you've got to see this. The average person, and I looked this up, Grace Baker, this is not made up. The average person blinks between 15 and 20 seconds per minute on average. Biden is not blinking. He's just staring at the camera, and you can tell he's swaying back and forth. And this was a pre-recorded speech, and it wasn't that long, and you could literally tell that it had been edited because the video had been spliced at least 10 or 11 times in just a very short amount of time. So that tells me that something's not right, and clearly they had to juice the president. He never blinked his eyeballs. Who does that? So anyway, President Trump, he blinked his eyeballs. To his credit, Mike Pence, he blinked his eyeballs. But not Joe Biden. Very odd. Anyway, I want to get back to President Trump and Mike Pence for a moment. So I don't watch Fox News Channel anymore. Like many of you, I've left the network. They are no longer, in my estimation, fair or balanced. And I watch Newsmax predominantly. I get most of my news from talk radio now. And of course, ToddStearns.com. But anyway, someone said, hey, Starnes, you're not going to believe this. They did not cover Donald Trump's speech last night on Fox News Channel. They carried Mike Pence's speech, the whole speech they carried, but they did not cover Donald Trump's speech on Fox News last night. Everybody's making a big deal about this. We've got a story up. I've got a column up about it over on the website. When you go back, though, Fox News Channel has covered at least a half a dozen of the committee hearings surrounding whatever happened on January 6th and the riot. But they did not take the time to cover Donald Trump's speech. Some of you may say, well, maybe it was because they had already agreed to carry Pence and they didn't want to interrupt Pence's speech. Well, no, no, no. The speeches were at different times. So that wasn't it. President Trump lashing out, saying that Fox, specifically Fox and Friends, has gone off to the dark side. And now there's a report out that President Trump is concerned he may be losing support from Laura Ingraham, who's one of the primetime anchors. President seems to believe that he's got Sean Hannity's full allegiance and devotion, not necessarily Laura Ingraham. But again, this to me is not a matter of pledging your allegiance to President Trump. This is a matter of being fair and being balanced. I mean, if you're going to cover the vice president's speech, his triumphant return to Washington, D.C., why would you not do the same to the man who was at the top of the ticket, the man who was the commander in chief? Why not cover his speech? And I want to explain why, because Fox News Channel is going to be anti-Trump. Fox News is now no different than MSDNC or CNN.
Crying Negro Network.
Thanks, Judge Joe Brown. There's absolutely no difference now. None whatsoever. They are all neighbors in a zero lot line neighborhood in media world. That's what's going on. So they're going to be supporting whoever is running against Donald Trump. And that's why they're jumping on board the establishment bandwagon, and they seem to think that Mike Pence is their guy. I'm not sure what they've been feeding Mike Pence, but they have somehow convinced him that he's the guy, that he's the guy that can beat Donald Trump. Maybe they're feeding him lots of propaganda, lots of cash, put it all together, big ego, and maybe Pence has been led to believe, maybe his brainwashed to believe that he's got a fighting chance of beating Donald Trump in a head-to-head primary. Because it makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense when you look at the polling data, because when you look at the polling data, Pence is typically in third or fourth place. There's normally Trump with 70% of the vote. Then you've got DeSantis, and then you've got, I don't know, some county commissioner somewhere in the middle of Timbuktu, and then you got Mike Pence. But I want to say something about President Trump's speech last night. I thought it was spot on. That's the kind of speech we needed to hear from Donald Trump. We knew going in that he was going to be talking about this contract for America, this contract that said, you know, here are the things that we need to be talking about. These are the things we need to be focused on. He did not dwell on what happened in the past. The president is looking at what's happening in the present day. And I thought he nailed it yesterday. I truly do. And I think the president understands the big issues of the day, chief among them being crime, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. But I thought one of my favorite parts, this president and his sense of humor, and that's the thing about the mainstream media, they don't get this guy. They have no sense of humor, and that is a tragedy. That is, ladies and gentlemen, in my estimation, if you have no sense of humor, that is an American tragedy. And that's unfortunate, because to truly understand the man, Donald Trump, you've got to understand his sense of humor. And so the president weighed in just so beautifully on this whole transgender nonsense. Now, I want to say something before we play this audio. There is man, there is woman. We don't get to pick and choose. That is a decision made by Almighty God. Period. There is no such thing as transgenderism. There is something called gender dysphoria. Educate yourself. So anyway, you've got this big controversy, and of course, the big news, and my hat is somewhat off to the NCAA, because they saw fit not to make Mr. Leah Thomas their female athlete of the year. Maybe UPenn can resubmit him as the male athlete of the year. I don't know. Maybe that may be still available. But the NCAA rejected Leah Thomas, the male swimmer who swims with the girls, they rejected him as their female athlete of the year. So there's been a lot of talk about all of this. And so President Trump, he just helped frame the argument so everybody out there in the across the fruited plain can understand what this is really all about.
And I'll tell you what, if I were ever, I'd be the greatest women's basketball coach in history. Because I don't like LeBron James. I like Michael Jordan much better. But I'd go up to LeBron James. It doesn't matter. I'd say, LeBron, did you ever have any desire to be a woman? Because what I'd love you to do is star on my team that I'm building up. I will have the greatest team in history. They'll never lose. Nobody will come within 70 points of this team.
It's true. I mean, Grace Baker, you're the basketball player. You're the biological female. And if you could have LeBron James and all these other superstars just identified just briefly as a woman, you're going to have, like, the best WNBA team of all time.
Space Jam 2.0, baby.
I don't know what you're talking about, but yes. So you're affirming that.
Yes, we would be the best team ever. Correct.
If that is an option available to you as a coach. You see, I don't fault the coach here. If you're a coach, you're looking for any edge or leg up to win.
Well, you have to win to keep your job, so.
Got to win to keep the job. So if they're coming to me and saying, hey, coach, you don't have to have players, you know, with lady parts anymore. You can go out of there and if you want to get LeBron James.
Kevin Durant, the whole nine yards.
What? Yeah, John Morant
from the Grizzlies. Oh, yeah.
Just put on a slip and some high heels and boom, welcome to the WNBA.
Never lose again.
Your little makeup. They don't use a lot of makeup in that league, though, do they?
No, it all sweats off. There's no point.
All right. Well, so what is the point? What is the point?
Well, I'm saying if you're working out, no, you don't wear a bunch
of makeup. Pay their bills, the WNBA, or do they have to, are they being propped up by the men?
I'll be honest, I have no idea.
Yeah, you don't go to many WNBA games, do you?
Nope.
Yeah. Like everybody else in America.
Yeah, so
I mean, it is what it is.
Like, I honestly will watch a little bit of women's college, but that's about it.
I figured, and I know I'm on a tangent here, but you would think that, remember when they shut down all the ball fields and then they reopened? This is for baseball, but they wouldn't let fans in. So what do? They have little cardboard cutouts.
They just need to, yeah.
That's what they need to do for the WNBA.
It would look a little better.
Maybe pipe in some people cheering and applauding and booing. But to the point, but I will say this, if you start letting guys play in the WNBA, I think you're going to have a bigger turnout.
Probably. It would be probably a little more entertaining.
Anyway,
I'm saying that, so.
Do you think that women could compete at the same level with LeBron?
No. No. No way.
Ladies and gentlemen, this coming from the biological female on the Todd Stearns radio program.
It's not the women's fault. I mean, they could train twice as hard as a guy and still...
They were born that way.
It's just the
you
way
know,
it is.
They were born that way.
Things women can do and men can't do and vice versa.
All right. I've got a way in. We're going to talk about the Trump crime stuff, which is fascinating. But I want to share this with you because it ties in to this whole, to what Trump was talking about and the absurdity of the transgender movement. So the Associated Press is the nation's largest news agency. And so it doesn't matter if you have a big paper, small paper in your town, they're using Associated Press copy. And in other words, everybody's pretty much getting the exact same news. And one of the big things they have is something called a style book. Every journalist knows that the style book is sort of like the Holy Bible in American newsrooms. We have one here in our bunker, and everybody follows, by and large, everybody in journalism follows the AP style book. Now, here's the deal. AP style book just announced that they have added a topical guide for transgender coverage. The Associated Press now says that this is, again, this is determined, settled science. AP now says sex and gender assigned at birth by doctors can turn out to be inaccurate. They now say that gender is a spectrum. It is not a binary structure consisting only of men and women. The Associated Press is now telling journalists to stop using words like biological male and biological female. So all these words are about to disappear or be disappeared from your local newspapers, for any of you who still read your local newspaper. What about pronouns? Reporters are being told to stop using phrases like preferred pronouns or chosen pronouns. Look, this is evolving on a daily basis. The number of words and phrases we're not allowed to use. Can't say grooming anymore on social media, but we do. By the way, you talk about these people mutilating their bodies, you know, chopping off their boobs, chopping off their little plumbing. Yeah, you're not allowed to call that mutilation anymore. According to the Associated Press, they want you to call that gender-affirming care. So you're going to get a call from Aunt Wanda, and Aunt Wanda's going to be weeping. You're saying, Aunt Wanda, why are you crying? Why are you so upset?
Little Billy chopped off his willy. Oh, my word.
And you have to say, no. Little Willie did not chop off. Well, it's gender-affirming care, Aunt Wanda. That's what that is. So basically, the Associated Press is codifying fake news. All that to say, after the program today, we will be burning our copy of the Associated Press style book. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starn Show.
MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You all have helped build MyPillow into an amazing company that it is today. Now Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back exclusively to his listeners. The Percale bed sheet set is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're all on sale. For example, the queen size, normally $89.98, now only $39.98 with our listener promo code. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale sheets are breathable, have a cool, crisp feel, and these come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So don't miss out on this incredible offer. There is a limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS, or go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use the promo code STARNS. That's 1-800-839-8506. Use the promo code STARNS, or go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. By the way, President Trump saying all these crime-ridden cities need to call out the National Guard, and that's got people freaking out. Do you agree with the president, though? I mean, he wants to play hardball with these criminals. Send in the National Guard, clean up all the criminal infestation. All these drug dealers and drug lords, the president says, and we're going to play some audio a little bit later, but the president says, hey, look, those people need to get the death penalty. Do you agree with President Trump playing hardball on crime? 844-747-8868. That is our number. Let's go to the phones. Mark from Florida, the Villages, America's friendliest hometown. Hey, Mark, what say you?
Hey, Todd, I just wanted to say I blinked a couple times today. I tried holding my eyes open, but I couldn't.
It's hard.
I know. You know, Pence doesn't have a chance. I don't know what he's thinking, what he's smoking. I don't know what he's doing. But yesterday with Trump, he was spot on. Everything from crime to stop and frisk, and the list goes on and on. You know, Fox, we knew they weren't going to cover it. It's just the way they've turned. They turned like NBC and CNN and all the rest of them. But we knew darn well. You know, Trump was incredible yesterday. You know, even with the weightlifter, and I'll let you weigh in on that one. That was just hilarious on the transgender part. And like I was telling Grace, you don't see men coaches hiring women. Why do you think that is? Not that they're not talented and strong and this, that, but you can't compete against the man. So they turn around and they figure, the transgenders figure, oh, well, I'm going to join the women's basketball team because I know we can beat them. We couldn't beat the men, so we're going to go beat the biological women who have worked hard for these records and everything else. So they're just going to try to degrade them and degrade these women. And I just think that's totally despicable that they're even doing that.
Oh, it's sickening.
It's crazy.
Mark, it is. Appreciate the call, Mark. We got to run for a break. But you're right. Look, this is abuse. That's what this is. And this is a war on women. And God bless the feminists that have the courage to get up and say just as much. I just wish more Americans would. All right, got to take a break. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
So you don't even have to go to the doctor to get a prescription. Millions of Americans have used Paxlovid. I tell you what, I think it's, I used it. No, Paxlovid, including me.
Good Lord. That was President Biden just a few moments ago. They carted him out. And he was giving a speech just all over the place. By the way, we were talking to you about, or we told you earlier about the president not blinking. And it looks clearly, it looks like somebody has been juicing him up before these speeches. So today he's got on the sunglasses. So you can't see the eyeballs and whether or not they're blinking or not. So the president goes on just a few moments ago, and he was comparing his China virus with the President Trump's China virus.
Here's the bottom line. When my predecessor got COVID, he had to get helicoptered to Walter Reed Medical Center. He was severely ill. Thankfully, he recovered. When I got COVID, I worked from upstairs of the White House in the offices upstairs and for that five-day period. The difference is vaccinations, of course, but also three new tools, free to all and widely available. You don't need to be president to get these tools used for your defense.
Yeah, I'm calling grade A fertilizer on that one. Do you really think the president was functioning? I don't think he's still functioning. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to go back to President Trump's speech yesterday. He needs to keep doing more stuff like this, by the way. President Trump explaining what needs to happen with drug dealers in America. Cut 9.
You execute a drug dealer and you'll save 500 lives because they kill on average 500 people. It's terrible to say, but you take a look at every country in this world that doesn't have a problem with drugs. They have a very strong death penalty for the people that sell drugs. If we're going to stop this scourge, it's time to get brutally tough on the dealers and traffickers and narco-terrorist cartels who are stealing over 200,000 American lives a year. And that's a very low number compared to what the real number is.
And he's absolutely right. And you've got the folks on the left and the mainstream media, they're freaking out. I can't believe he just said that. These drug dealers have families. What about their families? What about their rights? You know, the drug dealers don't have any rights. You're going to bring this poison into the United States of America? You know what? You're going back to where you came from in a coffin. And good for President Trump for calling it out. But these people on the left, they coddle. And you know why? Because most of these people in the mainstream media, and I guarantee you the Biden administration, are doing the illegal drugs. and they don't want their drug dealers sent back to wherever they came from. But the president laid it all out here. If you want to get a handle on crime in America, you've got to play hardball. I've been a strong proponent of bringing back public executions. Maybe, just maybe, the sight of somebody getting shot on the in the public square by a firing squad might deter someone from going out there and committing these violent crimes. Because what they're doing now is not working. So here's President Trump talking about the National Guard Cut 8.
And where there is a true and total breakdown of law and order, where citizens' most basic rights have been violated, then the federal government can and should send the National Guard to restore order and secure the peace without having to wait for the approval of some governor that thinks it's politically incorrect to call him in.
It's an insurrection. He's willing to take over. He's going to bring out the National Guard, and he's going to take over America. He's a dictator.
That's what they're saying on the left. They're freaking out over this stuff. And these are the same people, by the way, who are complaining that President Trump did not call out the National Guard to protect the Capitol, when in fact we know that the president offered not just 10,000 troops, but 20,000 National Guard troops. They were at the ready, but they turned him down. Nancy Pelosi said, we don't need it. As a matter of fact, Nancy Pelosi told the Capitol Police to stand down. Nobody's ever explained why. That J6 committee, they don't want to get into that story. But this is where the president shines. When he talks about policies, when he talks about what we need to be doing in this country, President Trump keeps this up. He's not even going to have to announce he's running. We're just going to demand that he run. 844-747-8868. What'd you think about the president's speech? I mean, compare that to Vice President Mike Pence. Nobody can remember what Pence said yesterday. Nobody. Mark from the Villages, he was talking about President Trump, and he weighed in on the transgender bodybuilders, the weightlifters. Let's take a listen.
Stood for 11 years. And a mother and father are screaming, you got it. You got it, darling. I'm so proud of my girl. Well, she couldn't do it. And then this guy comes along. He's named Alice.
Alice.
And he looks at the weight. World record. We could have put another couple of 100 pounds on. I think he would have lifted it.
And people are horrified, even on the in the establishment wing of the party.
That's so disrespectful. That man, Alice, can't help himself. It's not his fault. That President Trump, he's just a big meanie. You're just a big, big meanie, you mean, mean man.
I'm serious. That's how they talk on the other side. I'm not making that up. It's not that much of a stretch. But that's how they think. They don't understand that President Trump, with those two stories, the one about the transgender weightlifter named Alice and the other story about the basketball player LeBron James, they don't get that the average American says, oh, yeah, we get it now. What's going on here? This stuff is nuts. God bless you, Mr. President. That's all I can tell you is it's going to be one entertaining campaign cycle if President Trump jumps back into the race. But I will say this. I feel very confident that if Donald Trump sticks to the issues and shares his plan to reclaim America, then we're going to be okay. Now, the big question people are asking now, and there's all sorts of scuttlebutt on this, does he announce before the midterms or after the midterms? I'm a proponent of let's just wait, get the midterms out, get them out of the way. We've got enough to focus on with the contract with America, unless the president presents the contract with America all the candidates sign on and all of his candidates win, it's his. We've got another term of Donald Trump in office. And I don't think that's going to be a bad thing at all. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones. Doug in Georgia. Hey, Doug, what's on your mind?
Well, I want to weigh in on the whole transgender thing. Let's just assume for a minute that all these guys who think they're women or say they're women are just, they're pulling the wool over everybody's eyes, that they aren't feeling it at all. And where are all the feminists? I mean, talk about patronizing females. I think it's really funny. And I came to this conclusion. A woman can look like a man, but she's not going to be thinking like a man because a man thinks of one thing. And because we're on the air, I'm not going to say it. And vice versa, a guy can look like a woman, but until he has an unrelenting desire to nag, he's not a woman.
Whoa. Oh, geez. All right, Doug, you're going to be getting the phone calls, my friend.
Hey, you're wonderful, and I do love your liberal voice. It's really wonderful.
Well, you're very kind to say that, Doug, and thanks for listening to us. Say hello to all of our great friends there in North Georgia. 844-747-8868. One of my favorite things I've enjoyed this summer, Life Change Tea. Oh, this is an amazing iced tea. It is all natural, and you are going to love it. 12 herbs, comes in 3 delicious flavors, natural peppermint and pomegranate, and they've got a big summertime sale going on. Buy 3, get 1 free. Now, Life Change Tea has been around since 2007. It's made right here in the USA. Go to GetTheTea.com to order yours today. Do what I did. Go to GetTheTea.com, order some today. Use my code TOD10, and they're going to give you an additional $10 off plus free shipping. Folks, that's a $50 savings. GetTheTea.com. Use the discount code TOD10 for $10 off plus free shipping. We'll be right back. All right, hello, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. I was on social media last night, and I do a lot of writing in the afternoon, but Little Starnes is playing football. They got big football practice already. And are they one-a-days, two-a-days? I don't know. Anyway, it's hotter than blue blazes, so I've been down at the football field all this week. But last night I was at home and just browsing through social media, and I came across these videos from Ukraine. You know, there's still a war going on, by the way. I don't know if anybody told you about that, but we're sending billions and billions of our tax dollars over there. Anyway, this video was, they had a big, huge concert outdoors in Ukraine, and there were like thousands of people there having a good old time. And I was looking at the crowd, and many of these people in the crowd were men, young men of fighting age. And my question is, what is a polite way to say this? What the heck is going on over there? I thought there was a war. I thought they were fighting for the heart and soul of their nation. And now you've got the reports coming out that all of a sudden Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, is no longer really a good dude. There may be some corruption there. Well, yeah, we tried to tell that to you folks early on, but nobody wanted to hear it. You had to pledge your allegiance to the Ukrainian flag, and anybody who failed to do so was some sort of a Russian bot. But now everybody's starting to wonder what the heck is going on over there. And if, in fact, there's this major war, major invasion, why are they gathering thousands of people together for outdoor concerts? And more importantly, are our tax dollars being used to fund that nonsense? That's what I'd like to know. Now, tomorrow is going to be a very big day in this country. We're going to find out what we all know to be true, that we're in the middle of a recession. And the Biden administration is working overtime to redefine the definition of recession, because they're hauling people out in front of the TV screens. I've never seen anything like this. It's almost like, and you young folks out there, millennials, you will not understand this reference, so you will have to Google the reference. There was a guy named Baghdad Bob. Now, you guys remember Baghdad Bob. He was Saddam Hussein's spokes guy, and he was talking about how great things were and how the Iraqis were defeating and killing the Americans, yada, 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 while Baghdad was burning in the background and bombs were falling. Everything's hunky-dory here. That's what the Biden administration is doing right now. We've got our own modern-day Biden Bob out there. All of these White House officials that are going in front of the cameras and saying, what are you people kidding me? The economy's great. Yeah, you're paying a few dollars more for food and you're paying a few dollars more for gas, but Joe Biden has brought down gas prices quicker than any other president in American history. Yes, because he raised them. He was responsible for the high gas prices. This story from Walmart. Walmart has announced it's dramatically reducing the cost of clothing. And why are they doing that? Because people aren't buying clothes. Why aren't they buying clothes? It's back to school time. This is typically when you got mom and grandma and they're out there at Walmart and Target and they're getting new clothes, your back to school clothes. Well, it turns out a lot of families aren't doing that because they can't afford it in the Biden economy. According to Walmart, their customers are being forced to spend more money on food and gas. So they're cutting back. Walmart is facing some financial difficulties, folks, and you better pay very close attention to this. Walmart shares took a steep fall yesterday. They've taken a look what's going to happen down the road in this country, and they're saying that they're expecting an 8 to 9% decline, 13% overall for fiscal year 2023. So what does this mean? Walmart is the nation's largest big box retailer, period. And if they're struggling, you can only imagine what mom and pop stores are going through right now. And the Biden administration's philosophy is turning a blind eye and trying to convince you that this is all normal and that everything is okay. You know, they're celebrating the, 2%, 3% unemployment rate. That's because nobody wants to go back to work. There are people out there who don't want to go back. Why do you think the fast food restaurants, and I saw this, my favorite Arby's in Germantown. I love the brisket. What can I say? I was going to get the Arby's, and they got the crinkle fries now. And I was going to go to Arby's at drive-thru. There's a big sign. This Arby's closes at 8 o'clock. Other restaurants around town are shutting down at 5 o'clock because they don't have workers. They can't find enough workers. Dare I say this, it's even happening at Chick-fil-A, the official chicken of our Lord. They're having a very difficult time finding people to work. Why is that? You want to know why? I'm going to tell you why. And it's a very simple explanation. Back during the China virus, that's when all of this started, the China virus. You had able-bodied Americans that were told, you don't go to work anymore, you're going to sit home and you're going to get a check from the government. And guess what happened? American people stood down, they quit their jobs, they stayed at home, and they were content, they were satisfied just getting a check from the government. And that's why people don't want to work anymore. Unfortunately, the broader problem, aside from all of you people who got the vaccine and now you people are dropping dead, but for the general population, the bigger problem is we have been infected with the disease called laziness. And the Biden administration taught Americans to be lazy, to rely upon the federal government for everything. That's what's going on here. And it is an ugly thing, and we are going to have to break this cycle. Because one of the most un-American things is laziness. Americans are hard workers. That's what makes us the greatest country on the face of the earth. But now we've got a generation of lazy bums, America. Lazy bums. All right, got to take a break. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Even the Democrats aren't that stupid. New CNN poll coming out. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Program. So honored to have you with us today. Brand new CNN polling data. 75% of Democrats and Democrat-leaning independents say they do not want Joe Biden as the party's nominee in 2024. That's up 24% from earlier this year. And why is that? Well, I'll tell you why it is. It's because, just like everybody else, Democrats have to eat. And many Democrats like to eat things like chicken. They like to drink milk, but they can't afford those things anymore. And I'm telling you, folks, these reports coming, I know nobody watches CNN, the most profane name in news. I get that. But the reality is that these stories still impact. And when you see the reports of struggling elderly people and struggling moms, they can't find baby formula. They still can't find baby formula. You've got elderly people who can't afford to buy meat anymore. They have to live on rice and beans. This is coming from CNN, not Fox News, not Newsmax. So people are really hurting out there. And there is a unique opportunity for the Republicans to step up and do what they ought to be doing, which is behaving like President Trump taught them to behave. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have with us from Team Trump, our good friend Liz Harrington. Liz, hope you're doing well today.
Hey, Todd. I'm great. How are you?
You know, I'm doing a lot better after the president's fine remarks yesterday in Washington, D.C. I thought he did a great job hammering home the issues, not focusing on the election this go around, but focusing on the issues at hand, Liz.
Well, there's so much to discuss, and he really nailed something that is affecting Americans on a daily basis, regardless of where they live. I mean, you just talked about the grocery store prices, I mean, inflation, gas prices. But what's almost getting neglected is the issue of crime and the lawlessness that's going on. And that's something that he really wanted to hammer down on and gave seven concrete policy changes that would fix, you know, the situation tomorrow and would show that America is a safe country to live in again. And quite frankly, right now it's not, and it's horrific what's going on. And he went into really gruesome detail, but it's necessary to do these stories of just average Americans that have fallen victim to these lawless policies. And make no mistake, I mean, these are policies by Democrats, radical leftists in cities, but it's really spread out everywhere, that they're just letting criminals reign and run on the streets. The law-abiding are punished, and the normal average American becomes a victim. And he laid it all out there. I think it was very powerful, and he gave concrete steps of how it could all be fixed quite easily. It was very strong. He was really enjoying, I think, being at this summit. There was a lot of good energy and buzz in the room, being back, you know, in the nation's capital for the first time. And he really gave a strong speech. Everyone should go back and take a listen to it if they missed it.
I want to play a couple of clips here. This is President Trump talking about sending in the National Guard.
And where there is a true and total breakdown of law and order, where citizens' most basic rights have been violated, then the federal government can and should send the National Guard to restore order and secure the peace without having to wait for the approval of some governor that thinks it's politically incorrect to call him in.
Liz, you know, I heard the president say that, and I thought, wait, Mr. President, send him to Memphis, Tennessee, you know, my hometown. where we've been controlled by progressives for generations, and it's a war zone out there. You know, just the other day, we had a Methodist minister who was carjacked in her front yard, carjacked and then shot to death by a 15-year-old boy who was wearing an ankle monitor because he had been arrested a couple of months before for another carjacking. And yet this 15-year-old is out on the streets, and you got all these people saying, you got to treat this kid like a juvenile, this poor little child. No, he's a cold-blooded killer. And I think that's what the president is trying to say here. We've got to shock the system here, and we've got to get crime under control.
Absolutely. I mean, in the stories that I mentioned, you know, pregnant women unloading gifts from her baby shower and just killed right there in broad daylight. You've got all these awful things that are happening on a daily basis. What you just mentioned, and this can't happen in America. I mean, every American deserves the peace of mind to be able to, you know, go out when they want to and go to the store and not be afraid that something's going to happen. I mean, let their kids play in their own yards. I mean, you can't do it anymore. I mean, what kind of a country are we living in? It's because we've become so soft on crime. These radical prosecutors that aren't going after the real criminals, and they're going after the law-abiding. I mean, you saw what happened in New York, where that bodega owner just, you know, protecting his own life. It's on camera. Any, you know, person with a heart and soul watches that video and knows what's going on here and who's the victim and who's the perpetrator. And yet the victim is the one who ended up in jail. Thankfully, because of public attention to that case, I mean, he was sent to Rikers Island. It's unbelievable. Immigrant.
And, but Liz, think about this.
To make a living.
It's the same state. You're right. The bodega owner, an innocent guy who was physically attacked in his store. And then so he's in jail for defending his own life. Meanwhile, yeah. You have the guy who tried to attack Congressman Lee Zeldin, and he was let go walking the streets.
Total upside down, you know, call evil good and good evil. That's what it is. I mean, that is just plain and simple. It's just wrong. And, you know, President Trump just really went after this issue because it needs to be said, and we can't shy away from these issues, and we need to call them out. And the way you spoke about, you know, what is being happened to our cities, how they just let them be taken over, the you know, law-abiding store owner has to close their business because the city and the government have just let every city block become a homeless encampment and drugs and everything pouring out on our streets. I mean, that's just, it's just wrong. And President Trump didn't shy away from these types of issues and said, we got to clean these places out. We need to get people help, but we can't have this. It's a total breakdown of civilization and society. And it is just not the America. And, you know, I know you said you didn't want to it wasn't so much focused on elections, but look, when your elections start to look like a third world country, don't be surprised when the rest of the country follows. And that's where it all starts. When you have a breakdown of the rule of law, when you have politicized justice system, when you have, you know, votes that don't, illegitimate votes count and legitimate votes don't, that's all basic fundamental stuff. And if we don't restore integrity to our legal system and our voting system, nothing will change. So it's all tied together.
Liz Harrington on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Liz, real quick, the report coming out last night from Washington Post, they're alleging, their sources are telling them that the Justice Department is looking at President Trump in connection with a criminal probe. The president came out guns a-blazing on True Social and said that's all just a load of hooey.
It's so ridiculous, Todd. I mean, you have people who actually subverted the peaceful transfer of power using the Justice Department, using the FBI, using all the intel agencies, and then for Merrick Garland to get out there and say, oh, we're going to go after anybody that – give me a break. Then go after Barack Obama. Go after Joe Biden, who said Logan Act, after Michael Flynn, to try to sabotage an incoming transition administration during the transition. And they spied on everybody. I mean, this is sick. These people are sick. They're twisted. And of course, they try to, you know, have these phony leaks come out in their favorite paper. Let's not forget, Washington Post. That's where the scam started against General Flynn. The same thing. They do that when President Trump returns to D.C. to try to change the narrative in the Washington Post with this out-of-control, absolutely abusive power Justice Department, who are going after, you know, their political opponents who've done nothing wrong, like what they've done to Peter Navarro, what they're trying to do to Steve Bannon. It's an absolute disgrace. President Trump is totally innocent. He's a man of the people, and all he's ever done is fight for the people and to make sure that we have an honest vote. And there's clearly interest at the Justice Department that they don't want to make sure we have an honest vote because they never even looked into it.
All right, Liz, we're going to leave it there. Good stuff as always. Appreciate you coming on today.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, that's Liz Harrington from Team Trump. And we're going to get to this Washington Post story in just a little while. Also, we have some audio from Merrick Garland. The attorney general was doing an interview with Lester Holt from NBC News. But I want to go back to this. I want to go back to what we were talking about, the lawlessness in this country. And it is sickening, especially when you look at what happened to that poor bodega owner. And we were the first national radio show to jump onto that story. The first ones. And we were very clear to point out this was a case of a store owner simply trying to protect himself from thugs. But this is how we live every single day in Memphis, Tennessee. And Grace, I know that you, I mean, you live here in the Memphis area. You see this up close and personal every single day where you can't even just go out casually to fill up your car. Your head is literally on a swivel and you're praying to God that nobody comes up and tries to carjack you.
Got to make sure your doors are locked at all times.
All time. It's the craziest thing. And it's hard for people, you know, people who live in Republican controlled cities. They don't have to worry about this, but you have to literally drive. I don't fill up my car anywhere within the Memphis city limits. It's just too dangerous.
Something else I've noticed at some of the Kroger gas stations, they'll put the cones out, the traffic cones out in the middle of the aisle so that, you know, cars are on the right and the left, but so that someone cannot drive through and carjack. That's what that's for.
Because there are so many carjackings now, and it's unbelievable. But you're right. There's a process. You have to get out of your car. You got to roll up the windows, lock the doors, take your keys with you. You've got to, when you're pumping the gas, you basically have to turn around. I mean, you just have to do your head on a swivel to make sure that nobody's coming up behind you.
Doesn't matter the time of day either.
And it's everybody. It's unbelievable. And you're right. It doesn't matter. Broad daylight that people, and this is in Memphis, Tennessee, which is now one of the nation's most deadly and violent cities because of the policies of the Democrats in charge.
It's up there with Chicago.
And by the way, I've got an update, and I'm curious to get your take on this, Grace. So that Methodist preacher who got gunned down, they blew her brains out right there in the middle of the parking lot of her driveway. The 15-year-old had already been in the system and was wearing a freaking ankle bracelet, a monitor. And he was out on the streets.
For a carjacking, right?
For a carjacking.
The same crime.
And so now we've got a George Soros Democrat running for district attorney, and they're making a big deal. And they're out there. And people are saying, well, that young man is just the victim himself. It doesn't matter that he blew a woman's brains out, but he deserves to have a life. And you know who's saying that, Grace Baker? The victim's family. Her daughters are out there. The poor dead preacher, her daughters are out there saying that this guy needs to be charged as a juvenile so he can get back out in a few years and kill somebody else's mother.
That's the most shocking part of it all to me.
Shocking. They're either idiots or they just don't love their mother.
They've been brainwashed or something.
It is flat out indoctrination.
It's ridiculous.
But it should appall everyone. And I heard that anger when I was watching the president. I was feeling what he was saying because, Grace, we have to live that every single day in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yep, just about every evening there's a shooting.
And people wonder why in the world they're getting the hell out of Memphis and going to places like Mississippi and the suburbs to escape all of this.
Yeah, especially the suburbs.
Got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Had to get that off my chest. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
I was not expecting this, you know?
An unexpected car accident, an unexpected loss of her full-time job, just before an unexpected rise in food and gas prices, have all created an entirely different life than what Anna Duran was used to. She now turns in recycling for cash.
You get $1.37 a pound.
And works part-time as a caretaker for a resident of a senior center to add to her unemployment check. But that barely covers the bills.
This is my mortgage, $825.24. And this is my car payment of $482.99.
And those are just some of the fixed costs. She lives in Riverside County, where the metro area's annual inflation rate in June was likely around 10%, higher than the national average. That's because people moved to the relatively more affordable Inland Empire during the pandemic, driving up population and demand for goods and services.
Not only have prices gone up, but folks in the Inland Empire can't really shift to saying, well, I guess I'll be able to work from home a little bit more in response to higher gas prices, right? They are the types of workers that generally have to actually commute into their workplaces.
And Duran needs to drive for her work as a caretaker. Filling up her car a month ago cost her $94. And groceries?
I don't buy meat anymore. I just eat tuna.
She had to take out money from her 401k to cover credit card debt and sold jewelry that she bought for herself when times were better.
I don't want to go bankrupt. I don't want to lose my house. I don't want to lose my independence or the little moral or spirit that I have to make my own payments.
But it's hard to keep up good spirits when she has to rely on weekly charity.
Normally, I tend to get here in like 20 minutes till 7. So that this way I can be in line.
This is Joe Biden's America, people. That report from CNN, not Fox News Channel, not Newsmax, CNN. People are hurting out there. And when you hear that woman's voice, I mean, you know that she's trying to do everything she can, just like many of you in this audience. And I'm wondering, when you hear that woman speak, do you see yourself in her predicament? Are you beginning to see those kinds of struggles? Are people in your community, your church, starting to deal with those kinds of struggles? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Why did Kyle have to play the somber, sad bumper music coming into this segment?
I don't know. I don't make the rules.
No, but it's sentimental. It's a little emotional because we're having to say goodbye to our world-class intern.
I know.
Alan Morrow, who is joining us here in the studio. Alan, I mean, Friday is your last day. And you, the pumpkin or the carriage turns back into the pumpkin, and you go back to Ohio.
Yes, I do. Friday's my last day, and I'm starting to get really sad.
It's going to be
bittersweet.
No one to pick up my lunches anymore.
All right, you're not supposed to mention that on the air, Grace. Alan has been as a student at Liberty University, and of course we have a long-standing partnership and a friendship with the Liberty. And you're a journalism. Is that journalism major?
I'm actually a government politics and policy major.
That's
which is
smart.
Like political science, and then I have a journalism minor.
Okay, good for you.
Whoa.
Nobody needs a journalism degree.
Excuse me.
No, I'm just saying. It's. I mean, you can teach somebody how to write, but you need a discernible skill, and he's got the discernible skill.
Fair enough.
That's all I'm trying to say.
Well, thank you, Todd.
I'm trying to help out here, Alan. So anyway, you're heading back to school in the fall, and you've had, I mean, this has been a full summer here in Memphis. You've been working around the clock, and this has been a real job for you.
Oh, it's been exactly like that. Like, there's not been a moment here where it felt like, oh, that's, like, Alan the intern. Like, give him these little things. Like, I've been able to do some really cool stuff and write some really great stories, and it's been a blast, and I've learned so much and gained so much experience.
And that's a part of the process here, is really training next generation journalists and broadcasters. And the only way you could do that is just to jump in and start writing and start learning.
Absolutely. My confidence in what I'm able to do has just boosted so much here, because once you are challenged and you overcome that and you succeed, it shows you that in the future you can continue to do more.
And folks, you will notice Alan's byline over at toddstarns.com, and you ought to check it out and read his stories. You know, Alan, one of the stories you've been working on involves the state of Florida, where there's been a big effort underway to purge public school libraries of some very controversial material. What's going on there?
You're absolutely right. This story, 75 books with pornographic and sexually explicit content were found in a Florida school's library. A school board member for Clay County School District, her name's Ashley Gilhausen, she brought all this to light. And she's calling for disciplinary action for those that are responsible for exposing kids to this.
It seems like, and I know you've covered a lot of these stories that sort of been your beat over the summer, there have been a lot of issues in Florida where they've discovered critical race theory was sort of woven into the curriculum, whether it be math class or English class. And then on the other side, you've got these pornographic books that are in the libraries.
It's crazy, Todd. It's like public schools are becoming government grooming centers. Our tax dollars are going into teaching the next generation this stuff. One of the books found in this library, it's called Julian is a Mermaid, and it's recommended for elementary school students as an introduction to gender fluidity. And it features a boy who puts on lipstick and jewelry and then goes to a New York City mermaid festival so that he can fully express himself. This is for elementary school students in the library.
For grade school kids.
Yeah.
Jeez, Alou. When you're covering these kind, we do this every day here. What's been your perspective, you know, just stepping in over the summer and covering all these kinds of stories?
You know, I've always been interested in news and politics, so I've always followed this stuff closely, but now it's like I'm really immersed in it. And in one way, it can be like discouraging to see how many horrible things are happening out there. But it also, it like lights a fire in you to like stand up against this stuff. Because if we want to survive as a nation and as a culture and society, people need to be speaking out about this and people need to be aware of it.
No, you're absolutely right. Now, you are heading back to Ohio, then back to Liberty, and you're going to be hanging out with us at our Liberty studios for the rest of the school year. Is that right?
Yes. Liberty has a great program that's allowed me to write for you guys as a student worker there. They have a thing called the Center for Conservative Media, and it's been a blast, and I learned so much there, and coming here really stemmed from that, and I couldn't be more thankful for that opportunity.
Alan, this has been great. So you've done a terrific – you've set a pretty high bar for future interns.
Well, thank you. I've really learned so much. Everyone here made it so easy to succeed. Caleb's been so great.
Caleb Park, our managing editor.
Yeah, he's wonderful and so encouraging and patient, and you've been the same way, and everyone's just like believed in me and taught me so much, and I couldn't be more thankful for the opportunity, and I've learned more doing this than you could in any class.
I love it. I love to hear that. And we don't charge tuition. You actually get paid.
Yeah, this is way better than paying to take a class. I'll take this any day.
But still go to Liberty.
Oh, Liberty's wonderful.
Liberty. All right, Alabar, I want you to stick around. You're not allowed to weigh in on this story, but Grace Baker, I have a bee in my bonnet, a bone to pick with you.
What'd I do?
Well, you know that there has been an ongoing controversy in our realm surrounding the word midget. And there is a story on the stack of my pile here about Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones. So Jerry Jones is facing backlash because he used the word midget to describe someone who was rather short. as in a little person. So you're not a, I guess you're not allowed to say midget is the whole gist of
this. I didn't know that was, a thing.
Well, as a matter of fact, I just find this hilarious. The Fox News, foxnews.com, Ryan Gatos is the writer. And you know how they do the dash, dash, dash for the naughty, naughty words? All right, Alan doesn't know anything about this. He's a good Liberty student. So anyway, it's, I'm going to read this to you. Joan, 79, used the term M dash 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 T when he was talking about Larry Lacewell, the former director of college and pro scouting, who died in May. The Cowboys executive said he wanted to, quote, get me somebody, a midget, to dress like Lacewell and stand next to him at practice. So... So you can't.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
I thought it was like mother. What I didn't know. I mean, when you see the M dash dash, that's typically what that is. You know, they're talking about mother fornicators, but clearly they're not. They're talking about little people. Anyway, it's like a multi-page story here, and so Joan just had to apologize for saying midget.
It's a very unfortunate
instead of little people. What do you call the pickles though? The midget gherkins. What do you call the midget gherkins?
They're just nameless now. They got nothing.
Little pickles? Is that what we're supposed to call them? Little pickles? I just want to know.
I can't keep up with the politically correct terms. That's the problem.
I have a crazy story, and we've got so much news to cover, but I have to share this because it's very rare that we actually talk about the little people on the program. So anyway, I was writing a book many years ago, and I used to love to write in this beautiful lounge over at the Brooklyn Bridge Marriott Hotel. Beautiful. And it was usually I would go in on a Tuesday and do a lot of my writing. And so you get to know the staff and, the regular, the concierge desk. And so anyway, on that particular day, and typically on Tuesdays, it get kind of weird because the Orthodox Jews would gather in the lounge and they would not eat. They would only drink water, but they would use that as some sort of a meeting, mating ritual. So they would basically, it was like speed dating for the Orthodox Jewish community. It was fascinating to watch from a, if you're into religions and so on, it's pretty fascinating to watch. But, and I would be in, and then here's the Gentile amongst them, and I'm just, writing my stories while they're trying to. No, because, I'm not kosher. I love, pulled pork.
Fair enough.
So anyway, one day I walk in and sure enough, there are, and at the same time I'm coming in, so are all of the Orthodox Jewish folks. And we walk in and in the lobby are thousands of little people. And so I walk over, and of course I didn't know at the time. I was very uncultured, and I want to put all of this on me, yours truly, your host, and I just didn't know. And so I walk over to the concierge, and I'm just kind of like wading through all these little people, and there was a convention of little people at the hotel. So I go over to the concierge and I say, so what's going on with the midgets? And he just, his face went ashen. He says, for the love of God, man, they're little people. Little people.
Whoa.
I'm like, oh my goodness. All right. My apologies.
You really stepped in it there.
Almost on it. It's just terrible. So anyway, that's my story. You all right there, Grace?
No.
All right.
Not okay.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, hello. Grace, I'm going to miss our intern. He did a good job for us. So.
Yeah, he was very fast about getting my lunch for me.
Wow.
I'm kidding. He's done it. You know, he's written some really great stories this summer. And I think we've shown him around town. Forgot to ask him. I got to ask him what his favorite barbecue was he tried this summer.
That's true. We got him around to some barbecue joints. I saw the staff was pretty much, sending him out all over the place.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm trying to think. He's been to Central Barbecue. It's popular. Baines. You took him to Baines, didn't you? One of your favorite local spots.
Yeah, Baines, great brisket. Texas brisket.
Okay.
Not barbecue, but it is brisket. Yeah, it was good. It was very good.
Yeah.
So,
Showed him around town. I think he likes it here. We're going to miss him.
Good guy. Do we have the, I'm just asking because I forgot to ask you the break. Do we have that Fox audio? We do.
Yeah.
All right. We've got to set the stage for this. This just happened on Fox News. And I've been telling you, Fox has gone not just woke to the left, but they have literally embraced the LGBT agenda. I am telling you, they have completely embraced it. So look, there's been a raging debate about monkeypox.
It's raining men. Hallelujah, it's raining men.
So look, here's the deal. Again, there is a cry afoot to actually rename monkeypox because they say the name monkeypox is inappropriate. Now, look, I didn't come up with the name, so I'm not sure, you know, they're saying, I don't know, are they saying it's racist or homophobic? I don't know, but they want to change the name. Meanwhile, the government has been dancing around this, but predominantly this is a disease that is impacting the gay community, specifically gay men who engage in sex with other men. I mean, that's, well, typically that's what a gay person, that's a redundant oxymoron. But anyway, it's men having sex with men. Those are the people that are coming down with this. And it seems to me that you would think, and in all seriousness here, it seems to me that if you know something is impacting a specific demographic, in this case, gay men, you would want to be very clear in your messaging and your narrative so that people don't get sick and that people don't die. I don't think people are dying from this. I think it's just a horrible affliction. But it seems to me that you would want to be clear and focused and direct to help people not get the disease. So anyway, Ned Ryan was on, was this the show with all the women and the one guy in the middle? I think that's what they call it, one lucky guy or something.
Something like that.
I never did think the guy was all that lucky. But anyway, he was surrounded by all these leftists on Fox News. And what was that, Grace?
Kennedy.
So this happened on Kennedy's show.
Correct.
All right, so Kennedy is a leftist. I don't care what you say, she is a leftist. And she pals around with all of the massive LGBT workers that currently work at Fox News. So Ned Ryan was trying to, well, here's what happened. Just play it.
As for monkeypox, I think there's a pretty good rule in life. Don't attend gay orgies. When you look at the New England Journal's report of the 520 orgies that are reviewed,
Ned, come on, man.
It's not about gay. How about not any orgies?
Go look at the New England Journal's report that NBC News reported on Friday, in which of the 528 cases they reviewed, 95% were between men. I think we actually have to have a serious conversation about where this is coming from. When I'm done, Brad, you can talk. Instead of going crazy and declaring a national pandemic when 3,000 people have it right now, it's insane.
I don't know, man. You don't have to be gay to get monkeypox, and you don't have to be bigoted when you talk about treating something that is that easily spread, Marie.
It's not bigot.
Yeah, it is.
This is science, Kennedy. 95% of the cases from the New England Journal.
You know what? I'm going to let Brad respond. Okay, I'm going to let Brad respond because, Brad, we had 372 doses. The United States in Denmark, where the smallpox, monkeypox vaccine is manufactured, they were ready to go. But because this has been an issue for more men in the gay community, it seems like it has been lower on the priority list. Brad.
Yeah, look, Ned is right when he says that monkeypox right now is mostly affecting gay men. The problem is that public health-wise, not going to orgies in general is a good policy to not get sexually transmitted diseases.
100%.
And so we have to be really careful. We saw with the AIDS crisis, with the HIV crisis, about how certain communities or certain gay people will be stigmatized over something that lots of people do. And we got to be careful about that.
And that kind of, I will use the term, bigoted language that makes it seem like the only people that get this are from one group of Americans. Hey, guess what? Gay men also have friends and family members and colleagues, and this is not just transmitted through sexual activity. It's transmitted through close contact. So you don't fight diseases. I'm glad Brad brought up HIV/AIDS. You don't fight diseases by caricaturing the people who get them or who get them at one point in time.
So is that a caricature, though? And I'm curious to hear from you because a major Fox News host, Kennedy, and she is BFFs with Gutfeld and all that crowd. And hear me. They do not like evangelical Christians. They mock you at Fox News Channel. But you just heard Kennedy, her own mouth. She said that if you are suggesting that gay men are getting monkeypox, that makes you bigoted. I mean, you heard it, and she went back and she reiterated it. So she's doubling down on her assertion. Did you hear anything that sounded remotely bigoted about what Ned Ryan was trying to say? How is that any different than what the CDC is saying, that predominantly gay men are getting monkeypox and it's being spread at these raves, at these events, or as Ned Ryan described them, these gay orgies? And it seems to me that if it was heterosexuals, let's just say you've got a bunch of straight people coming down with the monkeypox, would you not want to be pretty clear with people, hey, this is the demographic that's getting the disease, and you need to be aware, you need to be alert, you need to keep your pants on? Does that make me a bigoted person? 844-747-8868. That's our telephone number. Look, I appreciate Kennedy coming out and on national television on Fox News and saying that all you people out there that are blaming the LGBT community, or specifically the G of the LGBT community, for the monkeypox, that you people are just bigots. Keep your mouth shut. That's what people like her. And then they try to portray her as some sort of a cool, hip, edgy conservative. It's a load of crap, ladies and gentlemen, and it's not even grade A level. Just my thought. All right, we got to take a break here. Another full hour. We've got to get to The View. The squawking magpies at The View have been silenced by TPUSA. We're going to get to that story. Some great news there. Also, some great guests coming your way and your calls. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Head over to the website, toddstarnes.com. Sign up for that newsletter and download the podcast. We'll be right back, America.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm about to share something with you, and when you hear this, I just want you in the back of your mind to wonder how the media would have responded if President Trump had done something like this. So if this had happened during the Trump administration, I want you to imagine the mainstream media uproar and outrage. This is the headline coming from Politico. The Centers for Disease Control under the Biden administration is going to make monkeypox a nationally notifiable condition. So could you imagine? So let me explain how this is going to play out. Let's say that you get a raging case of the monkeypox at your wherever you are at. And you go to the doctor and they declare, oh, you've got the monkeypox. Your name goes into a system and anybody that you've been in contact with gets notified that you've got the monkeypox. Now, I want you to think just for a moment. What do you think would happen if that had happened under President Trump? There would have been all you know what. Oh, my word. We can't believe this man is doing this. He's creating a database. He's going to bring us all together and put us in camps. That's what Trump's going to do. That's exactly how this would have played out. And it very well may be with Biden because they're looking for any excuse to get rid of him. Anyway, we'll see if Pete Buttigieg has a comment on that later. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll keep you updated. A new survey out from Gallup. Confidence in the mainstream media is now at an all-time low. According to Gallup, just 16% of American adults say they have a great deal or quite a lot of confidence in newspapers, 11% in newspapers. It's a big deal. There was a time in this country where we could rely somewhat on the media getting the story right, and we can no longer do that, as you just heard on Fox News in the previous hour. And we'll play that audio again a little bit later on. So what's going on here? I'm going to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have with us our friend Timothy Head, who is the Executive Director of the Faith and Freedom Coalition. Timothy, good to have you back with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me back. And, man, I honestly think this is one of the most important reports that's actually making its way out right now. I'm glad that you're talking about this.
Why is it important, Timothy?
Well, you know, it definitely applies to news. I actually would extrapolate it even broader. American institutions, just writ large, are spiraling down in credibility and in believability. And the reason why that's such a huge problem is because, you know, all of us need some, I think of it kind of like language. Like we need to have a commonly shared word for what a chair is, for what a wall is, what a ceiling is, what a car is. And if we can't at least just kind of agree on basic, you know, up is up and down is down, it actually kind of like it dissipates just the basic functions of any civil society. And that's one of the major problems I think that we're having, in news and journalism writ large. People just don't believe it. And so we're all kind of working from different frameworks or platforms because there's no kind of shared basic factual credibility right now.
And yet, Timothy, I think there's a large segment of this audience who might be looking at these numbers and they're not all that surprised. Looking back, was there a turning point? I mean, can you go back to maybe a certain time in history or a decade where things really started to take a turn for the worse as far as the media and objectivity goes?
Well, you know, I would say, to be perfectly honest with you, the advent or kind of introduction of 24-hour news probably started the slippery slope. Because there's not really 24 hours a day worth of true news that's happening, you know, yesterday in any given yesterday. And so, you know, we're kind of we're reporting news for 8 minutes of a 60 minute show. And we're just kind of opining or entertaining for that matter for the other 52 minutes. Well, bit by bit over the course of, you know, now that was kind of early 90s, but you know, here we are 25 to 30 years later. And not only are we not getting eight minutes of true factual news or reporting, you know, it's we're only getting sort of one perspective of that report of even the 8 minutes plus the editorialization. And honestly, you know that it's getting bad whenever Katie Tour, you know, one of the primetime hosts for MSNBC, just within the last week, you know, she read the very report that you just alluded to, and she, you know, on her private Instagram account basically said, I think I'm actually hurting more than helping at this point. To which, you know, you and I and others like us were like, no kidding, right?
I mean, it really is, it's tragic because there is a place for the fourth estate in American history, and that goes back to the founding of the country, which is one of the reasons that our founding fathers were so adamant about having freedom of the press. But unfortunately, and I think, I'm not sure there was ever a time when there was fair and balance in the news, Timothy, and going back into the 19th century, and into the early parts of the 20th century, when yellow journalism really developed its name, you know, they used to call it the fish wrapper. You know, they had such little respect for journalism back in the day, and because ultimately it was about selling ads and not necessarily getting news and information out there to the people.
Well, you know, look, I mean, that's totally fair, and honestly, I mean, I think you can even rewind further to the founding of you know, the nation that, you know, we certainly had sort of it wasn't Republican Democrat per se, but we had kind of polarized or politicized newspapers and sort of other dissemination channels of information. So it's nothing new under the sun. But in a fast moving and a complicated or complex culture like ours, when nobody really knows, even at this point, whether if news won't tell us that government said, do wear a mask or don't wear, we can't even get this basic on sort of foundational or fundamental, dissemination of critical information. That's when we know that we've truly jumped the shark.
Timothy Head is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, talking about this Gallup survey, media confidence at a record low. And Timothy, I think when you extrapolate from that, okay, well, how about coverage of people of faith, the evangelical community? I just think it's appalling. It's abysmal, even in some conservative circles.
Well, I mean, absolutely. And look, I mean, I a couple of nights ago, I was tracking on a CNN website. Don't ask me why I was watching a CNN news show, but one of the guests on there was talking in a journalistic context, was talking about the quote unquote rise in Christian nationalism, and you're just like. Anybody that ascribes subscribes to a biblical worldview would watch that and laugh out loud. Yet here we are in a nationally, on a national program with an invited, professional guest, a professional perspective, talking about, is Christian nationalism actually biblical? Well, who the heck are you? What are you even talking about? Like this is a feigned argument, So, I do think it's important. It's more important than ever, for individual people, especially from our perspective, from Christians and people of faith, to be rooted and grounded themselves in truth and in Scripture before they kind of go to journalistic outlets, for news or certainly perspectives.
All right, Timothy, we're going to leave it there. Great stuff, as always, and we appreciate you coming on the program today. Thank you.
Love it always. Thanks so much, Don.
All right, Timothy Head, folks, and look, it is what it is. You got to do your homework. I mean, if you're a news consumer, you've got to make sure that the news and information you are getting is coming from good journalists and they're doing good journalism. We do that over on our website all the time over at ToddStearns.com. So I want to play some audio for you. There's been a dust-up between TPUSA and the folks over at The View, the Squawking Magpies over at The View. So anyway, there was the big TPUSA event, Tampa, Florida, and you had a bunch of these wackadoodles that would show up and protest outside the convention hall. And some of them were, had Nazi symbols, all this kind of whatnot. But they were not affiliated with TPUSA. But that's not how The View described the situation initially. Take a listen.
So you have to read this thing.
Oh, I've got a legal note. The conservative group.
Sunny normally does this, but you,
I know,
yes,
I know.
Yes.
This is our knockoff lawyer.
Okay.
The conservative group Turning Point USA has condemned the group of neo-Nazis and said they have nothing to do with the organization.
Yeah, but where was DeSantis? Is what I want to know.
But you let them in.
President, open the
you let them in, and you knew what they were.
Right.
So you are complicit. We'll be right back.
All right. So that was yesterday, and TPUSA exploded, threatened to sue. They sent a cease and desist order because clearly they had nothing to do with this, and TPUSA, they're just a bunch of conservative high school kids. And may I just say this, and Grace Baker, I don't want you to respond publicly, but you can shake your head. I would say that about 50% of the teenagers going to a TPUSA conference in Florida really have no idea what their political beliefs are. They're going to the beach. I knew you would agree with me. Party. Mom and dad not there having a good time. And who knows, they just might be converted to the conservative way. Anyway, so TPUSA rightfully angry over this. Here's what happened today on The View.
So on Monday, we talked about the fact that there were openly neo-Nazi demonstrators outside the Florida Student Action Summit of the Turning Point USA group. We want to make clear that these demonstrators were gathered outside the event and that they were not invited or endorsed by Turning Point USA. A Turning Point USA spokesman said the group, quote, 100% condemns those ideologies, and said Turning Point USA security tried to remove the neo-Nazis from the area but could not because they were on public property. Also, Turning Point USA wanted us to clarify that this was a Turning Point USA summit and not a Republican Party event. So we apologize for anything we said that may have been unclear on these points.
Oopsie. Oopsie.
They've already got plenty of other lawsuits coming at them. I can't wait for, Rittenhouse, Kyle Rittenhouse. There's been talk about him going after the gals over at The View as well. They're going to be working at the local diner before it's all said and done. All right, got to take a break. 844-747-8868. Good for you, TPUSA. We'll be right back. Have you gotten the brand new book from Dick Morris just yet? It's called The Return, Trump's Big 2024 Comeback. It reveals President Trump's secret plan for 2024. Dick Morris would know. He is one of the president's closest advisors. By the way, The Return is the best political book of the year already, a number one Amazon bestseller, and it gives you all the background about the 2024 campaign. By the way, Dick Morris also says Hillary Clinton, she's going to be in the race. Get Dick Morris's The Return in bookstores everywhere. Or you can see the free offer from Newsmax and save almost $28. Go to thereturn911.com. That's thereturn911.com and save almost $28. Thereturn911.com. All right. New survey out. This is from Newsmax. Theodore Bunker is the writer. President Biden has fallen behind Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg. In a poll of 2024 Democratic presidential candidates conducted in New Hampshire, according to the University of New Hampshire survey, Buttigieg narrowly edges out Biden among likely Democrat voters in 2024. 17% would vote for Buttigieg, 16% for Biden, 10% for Pocahontas, and 10% for Gavin Newsom. Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey was the most selected candidate when voters were asked to name their second choice for president. Look, Buttigieg is going to be the guy, and here's all you need to know about that. When was the last time you actually saw an administration carting out the transportation secretary every night on the national news? I mean, when did that happen? It didn't, and it hasn't until now. It's almost as if, and again, when you're looking at the hierarchy of the president's cabinet, the transportation secretary's not up there. But you got the secretary of state, you have the secretary of defense, and you hardly ever hear from those guys. It's all about Secretary Pete and the husband and the chest feeding of the children that they did not themselves birth, but they want you to believe they did. That's what it's about. So they're clearly, and pardon the word, and I don't mean this in a negative way, they're grooming Secretary Pete to be the guy. That's what's going on here. And we talked about this a few days ago, and every time we bring up Pete, I will remind you of this, that Pete Buttigieg's father was an avowed communist. He ascribed to radical Marxist theories, and the theories involved infiltrating a nation's culture, a nation's academic institutions, and raising up and brainwashing the next generation of Americans to hate capitalism, to hate freedom. Now, Pete Buttigieg says he was never inspired at all by his father, yet he had a deep and abiding relationship with his dad, and all sons should have those kinds of relationships with their dad. But in this particular instance, that is not necessarily a good thing. Because you can't tell me that the communist apple did not fall far from that tree. And what better way to advance a radically progressive agenda And when push comes to shove, I would be willing to say this, that Pete Buttigieg is just as radicalized as Ilhan Omar and AOC are. But what better way to advance that radical progressive agenda than with a guy from the Midwest, kind of has that Mad Magazine look with the hair and the shiny white teeth, the pearly whites. He was a military veteran. And as far as we know, and again, we honor everybody who served. You put on the uniform of the nation, we honor you on this radio program. But let me caveat that by, and it's really not a caveat, there's a difference between being Captain America and Radar O'Reilly. And those of you who of a certain age know who I'm talking about. And Pete Buttigieg was Radar O'Reilly. That's all. And that's we honor service, period, here. All right, we got to take a break. 844-747-8868. No, Grace, just Google. Yeah, MASH, M-A-S-H. Google and then Google Radar, and you'll see who I'm talking about. We'll be right back. All right, looking at this story from Boston.com, that's the Boston Globe. The headline, drivers are staying off the road to save money, even as gas prices continue to decline. Well, again, that's because people can't afford it. Unbelievable. You've got Kamala Harris just a few moments ago saying that under the Biden administration, and I'm going to let Congressman Chris Stewart weigh in on this. Congressman on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, good to have you with us, sir.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
Congressman, just a few moments ago, Kamala Harris says, and she's praising the Biden administration because under the Biden administration, gas prices have fallen dramatically, more so than any other time in recent American history.
Yeah, I tell you, it's just their continued efforts to make us live in a fantasy island. I mean, these are the same people who said inflation is transitory. They're going to start claiming it's not really a recession, that, you know, they wonder what is a woman or the border is secure. I mean, they just say things that are factually, demonstrably untrue and expect us to believe it. And Americans aren't so stupid, Todd. They're not so dumb that they can't remember 15 months ago what they were paying for gas, which was about $2.21, and walk out the door and look what they're paying for it now, and then pretend that they're going to give this administration credit for the price of gasoline falling. It's just, as I said, it's just another part of Fantasy Island.
And, of course, tomorrow, Congressman, is the big day. We're expecting the GDP report. And every indicator, except from the Biden administration, every economic pundit out there is saying that we're going to be in a recession. That's what it's going to show. But the White House is now redefining what the word recession means.
Yeah. And look, I'm not an economist, but I have my degree in economics. I think I understand it pretty well. But again, you don't have to be an economist to know that the generally accepted definition of recession since probably the early 70s was two quarters of GDP actually shrinking. And that hasn't been contested. That hasn't been controversial. I mean, for heaven's sakes, it's something that everyone has accepted up until this week, where the administration goes, they know this number is going to be negative, or at least they suspect it will be, and most of us do. And so rather than deal with the problem and rather come to the American people and say, look, we know you're hurting, and we want to try to help, and here's our plan to try to help you, instead they're going to come to the American people and say, no, what you're seeing isn't real. It's not really a recession. Here's the new meaning of recession. And things are going along pretty well, which is what they've been claiming for months now about what a great economy they're presiding over, all the jobs they've created, et cetera, et cetera. But it, once again, Todd, the American people aren't dumb.
No,
they're going to know when they're being lied to, and they're going to know this isn't right.
That's right. And I think that is certainly evident in the president's poll numbers, especially among members of his own party, where you've got an overwhelming number of younger voters who say Biden has there's no way he can run for a second term. I suspect we're going to see a lot of pushback from voters in the midterm elections.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sure we will. And we should. And to your point, 92% of Democrats under the age of 30 don't want Biden to run again. 92% in a poll that was just released last week. I don't know how they look at any of these numbers and think there's any argument that they won't lose the House and probably the Senate. And they should. They should lose that power when they've misused it and when they've abused it as so severely as they have since this president has come to the White House. And the American people are going to hold them to account. And once again, they should. And they know that.
Big time. Congressman Chris Stewart from the great state of Utah on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Congressman, when you look at the, you put all the pieces together, you have an economy and, you know, it's bad and it's going to get worse. The American people are hurting. We've got an open border. You've got the war going on in Ukraine with the Russians. There are threats of war with Russia, and especially with there's a lot of concern about Pelosi going to Taiwan. What are you sensing here about where all of this is going? I think it's we're heading in a very, very dangerous place.
Well, I think there's no question that that's true. And in my most recent book, I make that point very clearly. I mean, the fracturing of the nation, and as our enemies watch this, and they will move, they will pounce when they see us just commit national suicide as we're doing. And, you know, there's one other thing that we have to mention as well, if you don't mind me interjecting, and that is we're coming up on the one-year anniversary of the fall of Afghanistan and the memories that many of us have with that, hundreds of panicked Americans. I mean, fleeing Afghanis actually falling off of the aircraft as they lift into the sky, the bombing at the gate, and then this absurd righteous strike, as General Milley called it, where they killed seven children in an attempt to distract from this. That is the image that many people have of America. And so when you talk about China, and when you talk about Russia, and when you talk about all of these challenges, and they have this image of a weakened, feckle American under feckle American leadership, why in the world would anyone globally, any national or global leaders look at America and fear us or respect us?
And I know,
and I'm afraid that that leads to the danger.
And Congressman, I know you've been leading the charge on that, calling for and really demanding transparency. You want the background and the declassified intel on what happened. Are you getting that information from the administration?
No, of course we're not. And does that surprise anyone? And we're not going to get that until we take the majority, can actually subpoena that information. I mean, requested it 8 months ago. And by the way, this is not something they can claim is classified. It's clearly not classified information. If it was, we would seek to protect it. But it's not. All we're asking for is to give us the background, show us the analysis that went into the decision-making that led to this catastrophe and the series of decisions that led to, as I said, this heartbreaking memories that we have now of Afghanistan, and help us understand it so that we don't do it again. And by the way, how can the president sit across the table from General Milley and General Austin and ever trust them again after the leadership and the decision making that they demonstrated in Afghanistan? And we just want to understand what happened there. But no, they're not going to give us that. I'm confident they won't until, again, we can take the House and actually compel them to through subpoenas.
I'm curious to get your thoughts. There's a fascinating piece up on Newsweek, and the writer is making the comparison. What's happening in Ukraine with the administration's recklessness could very well be turning that country into another Afghanistan of sorts. Do you see that happening?
Well, certainly potential, and it's something that many of us are afraid of. And I had a chance to talk with some leaders in Ukraine and some American leaders there last week, and I told them, you know, Congress doesn't have an appetite for $40 billion checks every 6 months. It's just simply not going to happen. The American people are good-hearted and honorable, and they want to help, and they want to lead. They understand the United States has a special role to lead in the world stage. If America doesn't lead, then President Xi will, or President Putin will, or some others. But on the other hand, we also are smart enough to learn from our mistakes, and we look at Afghanistan or Iraq, and we say to ourselves, what did we do wrong there? And let's not do the same thing now in Ukraine. And the perception among some that it doesn't matter what it takes, we're going to involve ourselves to whatever degree to defeat Russia there, which is an honorable goal, one that we all want to support. But on the other hand, we have our own interest. We have our own capacities that are limited. And I think it's a fair question about what's the appropriate level of involvement for us to commit to in Ukraine.
All right, good stuff here. Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. We appreciate your intel and your oversight on what's happening in Afghanistan, and we appreciate your time with us today.
It's always fun to be with you. Thank you, sir.
All right, that's Congressman Chris Stewart out of the great state of Utah. CNN poll, 75% of Democrats don't want Biden to run again.
Tonight, 75%, the vast majority of Democrats, 3 out of 4, don't want Biden to be their nominee in 2024. That is according to a new CNN poll. Out front now, David Axelrod, former senior advisor to President Obama. David, I heard that and sort of stopped in my tracks for a second. 3/4 of Democrats don't want the incumbent president to run again. How worried should Biden be right now about that?
Well, I mean, obviously, this is a very unhappy bit of data for him. And I'm sure, it is concerning.
Well, it's very concerning. It ought to terrify everybody if you're a Democrat. All right, we'll keep you updated on that. We've got an update on a story. This is breaking news about the condition of Tony Dow.
I'm not dead.
What? Nothing. Here's your nine puts.
I'm not dead.
Yeah. He says he's not dead.
Yes, he is. I'm not.
So the poor guy, Tony Dow from Leave It to Beaver, this is a crazy story. So it came out during the show that the star of Leave It to Beaver had died. I mean, the guy's been in bad health. And so the wife comes out and says her husband's dead. And then it turns out that he's not dead yet. But it's a horrible story. So we want to apologize. I mean, we're just, we figured if the wife was saying that the husband was dead, that's a pretty good source. In the news business, that's a pretty good source. But anyway, the star of Leave It to Beaver, not dead yet. That is the headline. We'll be right back, America. Take it easy, America. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Oh, that's good music, Kyle. Yeah, I'm just kind of taking it easy on this Wednesday. Is it Wednesday? It's Thursday. What day is it? Wednesday?
Todd, it's Wednesday.
I'm confused. Grace Baker, who's coming on the big show? We've got like a major show coming up tomorrow.
Tomorrow it's going to be packed. We got Senator Marsha Blackburn, Representative Jim Jordan, and Representative Ron Estes. We've got a stack show.
Wow. All right. Good stuff. And of course, your calls, ladies and gentlemen, 844-747-8868. That's our toll free telephone number. Oh, Biden said at that press conference earlier today where, and again, people are talking about the blinking of the eye. That's a weird thing. I mean, typically when people are not blinking, that means they are juiced up on something. They're hopped up on, unless he's doing meth or something. I don't think that's the case. But anyway, Biden out in public today wearing the sunglasses, and he says, all you people got to start wearing the masks again.
So you should consider wearing a mask when you're in a crowded indoor public place. These precautions add an extra layer of protection for you and for those around you. But the reality is that BA5 means many of us are still going to get COVID, even if we take the precautions.
Would you do that? I mean, the president wants you to wear your mask again. You've got a couple of school districts around the country that are already ordering students to mask up. Do you really think that people are going to mask up? 844-747-8868. That's our number. I think we're done. We're done. And if you are one of those people that goes out there, and I see you, and most of you are driving around in one of those battery-powered cars, and you've got a Bernie Sanders bumper sticker on your backside, and you're wearing the mask in the car by yourself, you're a moron. And there's really no polite way to say it. You're a moron. By the way, got to brag on our friends over at Patriot Mobile. They're all over the place. I saw them at the big TPUSA conference down in Tampa, by the way. They'll be at CPAC as well, and we hope to see you at CPAC. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier, and they've got some incredible nationwide coverage. They use the same towers the other guys use. They just don't send their money to left-wing organizations, and I completely respect that. They also have plans to fit any budget. So if you, and especially these days, folks, come on. I mean, everybody's looking for a way to save a few dollars, and Patriot Mobile is going to help you do that. By the way, they've got some incredible offers for our listeners. Now, if you call in or go to their website, use my promo code Todd, they're going to give you free activation and a special discount. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd, PatriotMobile.com/Todd, or give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Got to use the promo code Todd. Again, no hard sale. They're going to work with you, and they're going to help you find the best plan and best package for you and your family. All right. Oh, where is that story? Oh, here we go. New York Times now calling for President Biden to step aside and announce he will not run for reelection. This coming from New York Times columnist Brett Stevens. He's accusing President Biden of being a failed president who is so weak the Western world has been left effectively leaderless. All right, welcome to the party, pal. What have you been up to for the past couple of years? Stevens also advised the best thing Biden could do is announce immediately that he will not run again in 2024. Fox News Channel has the story up here. The author says the Democratic world is leaderless. 25 years ago, we had the confident presences of Bill Clinton, Helmut Kohl, and Tony Blair, and Alan Greenspan. Now we have a failing American president, a timorous German chancellor, a British prime minister about to skulk out of office. This is bad in normal times. It is catastrophic in bad ones, Mr. Stevens writes. He claims that Biden's lack of leadership has put holes in U.S. international credibility. Again, welcome to the party, sir. He described the latter as a situation in which President Biden has committed enough support to prevent outright defeat, but not to secure a clear victory. He also expressed high doubt in Biden being able to deal with an imminent nuclear crisis with Iran. There is also the looming crisis over Taiwan, and not to mention, may I just say this, Ukraine. Now, I'm just curious. Does anybody really think we have any business involving ourselves in what's going on with Ukraine now? Now that we've had a chance to step back and send them $6, $7 billion of our tax money, anybody else having, I don't know, second thoughts about any of this? That maybe, just maybe, the wrong move was made because we were about ready to lower the American flag over the Capitol building and raise the Ukrainian flag. But thank goodness all the Ukrainians can now go to the beach and hang out and suntan and go to the outdoor concerts while who's fighting the war? It's all very confusing. But again, we were told don't ask questions, just pay your tax money and shut up. That's our job. So we just want to put that out there. This story from Yahoo News. The lesbian mayor of Chicago. And you say, Todd, why would you say that? Well, it's because she campaigned on that. So she wants everybody to know she's a lesbian. And we're happy to oblige. The lesbian mayor of Lightfoot has a lead foot. Chicago Mayor Lightfoot is now apparently refusing to pay multiple speeding tickets. She's also running through red lights. So I guess she's the mayor. She doesn't feel like she has to obey any of the laws of the land. So there you go. All that to say, if you're driving around Chicago, you might want to be careful. I mean, you never know when a lesbian Lightfoot might plow into your... Nobody wants to get T-boned by Lightfoot. All right, got to take a break here, a long break. This is the end of the show. We'll see you tomorrow. Be good, America.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.